This episode of Post-Ass Draft is brought to you by Pagely. Pagely helps big brands scale WordPress. They are the OG of managed WordPress hosting, and they provide it wonderfully and reliably. I never have to worry about my websites because they're hosted on Pagely. I can't thank Pagely enough for sponsoring and partnering with PostStatus on all things that I do. Also, they've got a brand new brand called NorthStack. NorthStack is managed application hosting. It's built on a modern serverless AWS stack. It's a bit different than Pagely. It's metered based on how much you use it. It's really cool. Go to northstack.com to learn more about that. Thanks so much to the team at Pagely for being a PostSAS partner. Now here's our show. This episode's a bit different than a lot of episodes. I'm talking to a WordPress skeptic, so I hope you enjoy this with Kira Lee. I met her randomly online, and I think she brings an interesting perspective for those of us in the WordPress community to get feedback on someone in the real world doing client work. So I talked to her about her experience using WordPress, some good things, some bad things, but I think it's worth checking out. Hope you enjoy it. Here it is. Hello and welcome to the Draft Podcast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard. I'm here today with Kira Lee. Kira is a consultant and a full stack creative consultant, I guess is the way you say it, and also an avid video gamer, which is something I know nothing about. So Kira, I'm happy to have you on. And we should note up front, I asked you to come on as not a full WordPress skeptic, but a WordPress skeptic for many of the applications where you see people using WordPress. Is that an accurate way to say it?
Definitely. Definitely.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you being here.
No problem. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So you came to my attention because a friend of mine who knows I work with WordPress stuff saw an article that you wrote on Hacker Noon. And the article it says, as a builder of WordPress websites, I need to speak my truth. And the URL is, this is why WordPress sucks and you should probably stop using it. So it was had a jab of controversy built in, and him finding that funny tagged me in it and was like, what do you think about that? And that started our conversation, and that's how I came to know you, and then begged you to come on to my podcast to chat with me about it.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, predominantly, I'm a copywriter and content marketer. That's how my inbound lead system works. So if I have a firm opinion on something, it's going to be a little bit jabby. Just a little
bit. You got to make the point as strongly as possible. Make sure it gets heard.
Yes.
Bring the nuance in later. So can you describe, before we get into like the, you know, nuts and bolts about what you think WordPress is good for or not good for, who's like the type of customer that you tend to serve and the role that you play? I mean, because if you're doing everything, but they're coming in from a sense of like they want a designer or a copywriter, how does that all kind of blend together in terms of how it takes shape?
Yeah, no worries. So I basically do everything from graphic design, copywriting, content management, UI design. I even do screens for mobile apps. So I'll generally have a small client. I work with people who can kind of get past the abrasive articles, like a pre-vetting system. And then they'll come in and be like, I need an entire solution. And I'll try to look at it from, you know, a high level perspective. But also when you're someone who executes basically everything, you're like, I don't really know if you need this. So it's generally very small businesses who want all the answers, all the features all at once, even if they don't quite need it.
Mm. Yeah, so you're getting started with them. And typically, they're not necessarily people that are starting with like some significant budget, but they want to get good bang for their buck, right?
Yes. So they go into it with like, I have GoDaddy, WordPress comes on it. Can we get something started? Or they're like, I have this old host. How do we migrate our website to WordPress, even though like we had our host in the 90s?
Yeah. So the end result, the websites that the vast majority of stuff that you produce, where maybe they come to you with a WordPress website, or maybe you do have some control over what platform it's going to end up being on, if a platform at all. Is this typically going to be like brochure style websites where it's a handful of pages or maybe a small blog or something like that? Or how dynamic are they?
Not really dynamic. I mean, I kind of stopped doing websites for a while for people just because my experience is that I started designing websites actually back when, you know, Windows 95 was the thing. I might sound young, but I'm 31. So I kind of stopped because I saw that they don't need this functionality. In all honesty, they probably just need something bootstrapped, thrown up with some embeds for contact forms. We had a client a while back, and they wanted like PayPal links for basically 400 different things to buy when they really didn't need it. They just need like a donation form. So generally I see people want, I guess like variable content, but they just don't need it.
Yeah. So I want to preface with you qualified what you said at the beginning of your article with saying, hey, if you have a complex site, you need a complex content management system that does a lot of stuff, go for it. WordPress will be great for you.
Yes.
But you're seeing people, you know, try to use WordPress or bring something from WordPress where they really don't need anything. They really need a static website. HTML and some CSS framework is basically all that they need, right?
100%. I also work with a lot of agencies, and they tend to want to have that large solution, but they don't know how to prevent the security issues. But I'm not technically their admins. So run into a problem with, you want a SEO, like you don't need a wizard for it. Like we should kind of know how to do this stuff by hand sometimes, right?
Yeah. So how often are your sites, this is where I started to get sideways, I guess, with the article, because I totally agree with what you're saying. Like if it's a landing page or if it's a site that's just not going to change, where I start to get confused is a client, what if they're adding like new pages, new content on a regular basis? It's still not a complicated site, but they do have like new, somewhat, you know, regular content where they don't want to go to their consulting agency or whatever to do that. Is that an appropriate use case for WordPress in your scenario, or do you not see a lot of that, or have you found, you know, some other type of solutions to be effective for doing those types of add-ons?
Yeah, so a great deal of the work is kind of just landing pages, but the clients that tend to want that like on the fly kind of editing style can't even really work very well with what you see is what you get editors anyways. So having them update it will inevitably be, how do I do this? And then it's like an extra 15 hours of teaching people how to do something.
Okay. So even when they're adding a page a month or whatever, they're still asking you like, I don't understand how to use the content management system.
Yeah. So it's up to me to kind of, you know, as my job to guide them through this, that makes sense. But also, since I've been doing the whole Notepad Fandango, I guess, for such a long time, if they need it updated, I could literally just get copy and throw it up in like 10 minutes, maybe less.
And that's because of the way that you're self-managing a static HTML site? Or are you using static site generators that are kind of like a CMS, but on your desktop? And then you deploy it off to some system. How are you structuring that yourself?
I generally will just put it up like by hand. But if we need to use something more structured, probably Laravel. But I don't work with people generally on my end who would even kind of know what that is or how it works.
Okay. So this is pretty strictly marketing style websites, not putting up a ton of new content all the time.
Yep.
Okay, so let's dig into the parts that you particularly don't like, because I would phrase it this way. I would say everything you just said makes sense to me, and I agree with you that the WordPress front end or the WordPress, everything that you end up with there can get complicated, feel like overkill, but it shouldn't be, right? So like, it should be pretty easy to install WordPress and use it for one of these smaller sites. And then not leave yourself open to whether it's security vulnerabilities or breaking it because you don't know what you're dealing with and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. But more often than not, I find it the case people will try to make updates on their own and then break it. So, I mean, I used to install WordPress just in FTP. Like, I didn't install anything on Softalicious or whatever the hell it's called. So, yeah. Like, that's not the hard part. It's more so, can we take something that you've made that you're not quite on contract for, extend it beyond what it is by ourselves and not break it? The answer is probably no. Probably okay. No.
Is part of that because the landing pages themselves end up being pretty thorough? Like, I don't know if you're familiar with like Gutenberg and WordPress, which is kind of like a new editor / page builder, but are they kind of like that, you know, a pretty structured page layout so that it's easy for someone to go in, try to edit it, and then end up breaking all the layout items?
Well, I like Gutenberg, and I found that it has actually less problems than, for example, like WP Bakery or Elementor. So from a standpoint of like building something more structured, I like Gutenberg, but that doesn't tend to be the case. What tends to be the case is that it's a small client. They have a small budget. We get a premium theme, and then it extends past what can be created, or at least created easily. And then stuff breaks and takes 10,000 years longer than it needs to. I like Gutenberg. I wish that Gutenberg would include a pop-up feature versus like a short code insert for a pop-up, but I like it.
Okay. For a pop-up, you mean like a when somebody's exiting, a little modal window that pops up?
Yep.
Gotcha. I don't think Gutenberg's gone down that route just because it's mostly stuck to stuff that's inside the editor.
Yep.
What about when you get into the actual code side of things? You hinted that, you know, if you actually want to edit a theme, I assume, particularly if it's some, you make a child theme or something for a commercial theme that you buy and you end up in the weeds of whatever that theme is doing and you're trying to edit it. What are the specifics about what makes that a painful experience? Is it the fact that you're kind of in HTML and PHP at the same time, or?
That's not the experience. The experience, I guess the painful part is we've already created something. Well, we've purchased something that technically should be doing what we need to be doing. Either it's the client's expectations have shifted, or perhaps maybe the intent was not quite articulated. It's not a PHP thing, not at all. It's more so, how much can you hack into something before it just doesn't become the thing that you need it to be?
Mm. Is it sometimes it also that there's like a demo or something and it looks like what you want, but then when you actually get inside, it doesn't do that?
Yep. I mean, everything kind of is different. You know, I'm sure you know that. Like, you'll set it up and it'll be like, we'll set the, you know, featured image here and do this. And I'm like, but I did it. let's, you know, get on with getting on. I just want to build something quick and easy. I'm writing the copy, doing the graphics, set everything up. But if it's not as swift as kind of, I guess, advertised, that doesn't just make it challenging for me. It makes it challenging for the clients.
Hmm. What would make your life easier? Like, in your dream world, if you were to have a platform, doesn't have to be WordPress, but like some kind of downloadable software where you then go and you take control and you're not actually in code, like, you know, rolling your own HTML templates through Bootstrap or something, but you're working with something that has an interface. So you do have this option of doing it for your client, but they also have some control themselves. Like, what does that look like to you? Or have you used something that gives you a feeling like you're getting that now?
100%. So I don't work with these people, but I love assembly. And assembly is something that actually you can use that on WordPress as well. For me personally, you just kind of boot something up off the PHP off of your computer. You open your project and parts of it are drag and drop. So it'll have like the standard menus, headers. Then you export it and then you could dive into the code. That makes, at least for me, creating something for small clients who just really need something small and not crazy so much faster. And then if we need to edit stuff, like, it does not take more than an hour.
What's the URL for assembly?
Yeah.
Is this?
I think it's like assembly in, hold on. Assembly. Yeah, I think this actually has a WordPress accompaniment. So it's assemblyline.in.
Okay.
So I don't work with them, but I was
user experience wise.
Oh yeah. No, I loved it. Honestly.
Badass website within minutes.
Yep.
No, okay. Sure. So this is something, it looks like it's maybe a small company where they're essentially helping you put small landing page things together. And you said it has an integration with WordPress.
Yep, I'm pretty sure it does because I purchased this off of Envato, and I think it comes with something that can be attached to WordPress. But okay. As far as I'm concerned, it's just really great that you can move the blocks around, export it, and then it will get out of your way.
Oh, interesting. I've never heard of it. I know a lot of Envato products. WordPress stuff is one of their largest product lines at Envato. So I'll have to check this out because a lot of their stuff has taken off. Maybe this is huge on there and I just don't know. I'm disconnected from it. What about this experience? Does it cut out a lot of the other stuff in WordPress to make it more attractive?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, for the people that I work with, I think that it's an ideal solution if they need something quick. And if I'm kind of handling everything, which we've talked about, those hours are going to rack up and it's going to take far too long to get things done and created when we don't need something super robust. So yeah, I mean, I'll build something really quick, set out the blocks, export it, fudge with the HTML, CSS, and then it's more or less completed, which is awesome. In the case of WordPress, like, I do not mean to, you know, crap all over WordPress because I think it is important for people who need more robust solutions. I need access to plugins, but I mean, you can just insert a MailChimp form. Like you can just get the export of that from MailChimp. So maybe I'm just an old person, but I think sometimes it's totally necessary and sometimes you totally don't need it.
Yeah. I'm playing with Assembly while you talk and this has some really cool stuff. Because it basically, they have this thing called a drawer and it slides out and it's like each section is a template, but it's kind of a partial because it's not the whole page. You can stack them on top of each other just for folks listening along. So as you kind of choose like, oh, well, I want this thing that's got some text and an image to the right. And I want this other thing that's a gallery and another thing that's a menu. And they just plop on top of one another and they kind of form together. Ends up making a nice big page that what I don't know, what I want to hear from you at the end of this, you download the project and you're just downloading all the HTML, CSS and images that were used in creating that.
Yep. It just exports all the assets and everything.
Gotcha. So you take that and then you, essentially modify what it put together for you.
Yep. Yep. You would just attach, they actually have a CSS. That's pretty much a CSS file that's blank. So you would just edit that one and it's really quick.
Yeah, that's really neat. This is a bit like what I have talked about in the past for people that are listening, what I think Gutenberg could actually do pretty well basically enabling templates. So you're familiar with Gutenberg. So you know like how you have the blocks, but if you picture like kind of stepping back a notch with that and people have kind of already put these blocks together into something like what you have in these previews where, you know, it's got this drawer of components is what they're calling it. And each one of those is almost like a saved section of blocks that someone can toss in.
WP3 does have, like what you see is what you get. Page builders definitely haven't. But I find them a bit bloated and I find them a bit slow. I don't know if you would agree.
Totally. Yeah. The biggest beef that I have with a lot of the page builders, like the big plugins out there, is you may put something in like this, like one of these, you know, like a drawer, a section of the page. But then it gives you all these controls, like over every little element, like the font size and the padding and all that stuff. And also the client ends up with all that control. And that to me is what feels dangerous in those scenarios. Is that what you mean when you talk about it feeling bloated?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Also, like, I don't know. For example, it's not really hard to make a slider. Like, it's not very difficult to make a home hero image. But I honestly think that a lot of these, like, solutions for drag and drop home hero slider stuff take forever and are way more complicated than you need to be. And I would agree with you on that front of a lot of fiddly editing options that don't need to be there. Like, could we hide them for a bit? Like, could we just say, chill out for just a second?
Yeah, I think there's a, so I work with a lot of people that make WordPress products. Some of the people listening to this make page builders. It's maybe some of the ones you're talking about. And what happens is you have this conflict where you may not be the best user experience, but also in your support tickets, your customers are like, how do I control this? And how do I control this? And how do I control this? So you end up with this terrible decision that you have to make between overall usability and then like all these little options that you've been asked for people to take control of, kind of taking precedent in the plugin or in the interface for that plugin. And then, you know, two years later, you feel like you just got this big giant mess.
Yeah. Yeah, that becomes difficult. I remember I got a theme for someone once because we just needed to make something quickly. And I was like, equal height, like column, just give them to me. And it turns out that the theme developer disabled them. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I guess I'm going to throw some jQuery to fix this. When initially the page builder did have it, but they were like, no, I want to disable it. So stuff like that just kind of drives people who are actually developing stuff super crazy. I understand the need to be like, hey, the customers are asking for this. But at some point, do you make something elegant that gives you what you need in a delightful way? Or do you try to please everybody and make a Frankenstein product?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally am with you on that. I've long said that the challenge for WordPress as a whole, but also the people participating in that ecosystem, because some of these critiques, by the way, like they're not necessarily of WordPress, the primary CMS. They're critiques of like the products that are popular on top of WordPress, whether it's a page builder or a theme or a plugin. And the challenge that we run into is how do you make something powerful? So it's got, you know, all this flexibility and stuff that you can do with it, and also make it simple so it's not a total nightmare to interact with and interface with. And doing both at the same time is enormously challenging and difficult. But at the same time, I think it's necessary because for me, it's disheartening to hear an experience like yours where, you know, you manage the whole process with a client. Like you're doing everything from the design and the copy and the development of the website. And you feel disheartened when a WordPress site comes across your lap. You know, that's not what those of us in the WordPress community want to see or hear. And I want to be able to better understand what would make your life a little simpler.
Definitely. I mean, I super appreciate that. It's not every time. Like I have an agency that I work with and they're pretty chill. So they give me complete control, which means I do not have to sit there and be like, okay, we're going to do this part. We're going to change this. They make it simple and that right. I honestly, in my soul, do love WordPress. I don't like when it becomes bigger than I think it needs to be for the sake of making everyone happy.
I think that's fair. I want to ask you, you referenced the API, and I want to make sure that I understand how you're referencing that. Because when I hear API in WordPress, I think of like the REST API that for most people, they're never actually going to interface with the REST API. So maybe you were just talking more about like the underlying functions that you may use when you're doing theme development. Sentence you use specifically, I want to repeat because it's pretty funny. You're a good copywriter. You got me hot and bothered in this article. He said the API is a crapshoot potato bucket and the documentation is arse. So can you be more specific about what you were describing with that?
Yeah, so I don't mean the RESTful API. I mean, when you go into functions, how some stuff just is not either there, explanatory, or crazy. I'll give you an example. So I've been testing out H5P, I think it's called, just like mess around with, what's the phrase? Like just interactive content. Mm-hmm. And in order to enable it, you would have to create a function, even though the plugin already has a function and it already works. So in order to make it work, you actually have to go in there and change a bunch of stuff. So I think when you have to do things like that, that work around what was created already, makes it kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never heard of H5P in my life.
I'm excited to hear how to use WordPress as a headless CMS, because I think that might solve some of these problems.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, because WordPress as a headless CMS, like your front end could end up being anything, but there is somewhere to log in and, you know, the client can go make a page or whatever. But your front end doesn't have to be the WordPress templating system or whatever. Yes. H5P seems like it's some kind of plugin with a WordPress, or it's a, what do you call this? It's some kind of HTML thing to do it in your browser, but they have some sort of WordPress interface that you found unsatisfactory. Is it also default WordPress functions? Like if you're working on a WordPress theme and you're trying to figure out WP query or like how, you know, pulling in some custom posts or something, is it those types of functions as well, or have you been overall okay?
No. I've just been pretty okay. I mean, again, I don't have to generally do stuff that's super duper complicated. So, No, from a basic standpoint, it's pretty solid. I personally have a problem with a lot of documentation over the internet. So it's probably not
just, not just WordPress.
It's more like, I'm probably showing how dumb I am in this podcast, but I need pictures sometimes, you guys. Like I need to be able to see where stuff is, or like a video, not just use this function. I'm like, okay, let's go to Stack Overflow and figure out what someone else did to get it to work, which, you know, is showing probably how incapable I am, but.
No. I 100% agree with you. And I've been building WordPress websites in some form or fashion since like 2008. So, I'm a visual learner as well. And then, and I also, you know, like the how to draw an owl. Meme. That's how I feel most of the time when I'm looking at code documentation. Doesn't matter if it's WordPress or anything else.
I ran into this with October CMS recently where they're like, just add this. And I'm like, no, you guys, we're already at the owl. you guys gotta dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I want to get your opinion on something that's been really popular from my point of view. But it seems like it may have some of the same challenges. So I'll explain. WordPress themes, you have HTML and they're like weirdly interlocked also with PHP, you know, and then your CSS is off to the side. You can usually kind of do some of that on your own. But if you're just not someone that wants to deal with PHP, then WordPress theming would bother you a lot. Well, now this movement, there was this time, Twitter Bootstrap, great example. It's like, oh, look, it's just HTML and CSS and a little bit of JavaScript over here or whatever. That's great. And now it's like, okay, well, we've got these static site generator type of things. The end result is kind of cool, but we're using React and now our JavaScript and our CSS and all that's in the same files. Do you have some of the same complaints with some of these modern JavaScript type frameworks, or do you find those simpler than WordPress and PHP?
Yes and no. Like for a while I was trying to learn on that front, but I'm mostly a copywriter up front. I think that the more we try to jam things in the same space, we overcomplicate the crap out of it. Yeah. I would prefer my CSS to live there, HTML to live there, like other scripts to live elsewhere. It's one of the reasons why I kind of stopped on, you know, SAS with Bulma. I was trying to work with it. And I was like, why do I need to compile CSS? Like, this sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Why do I need to make an object form as a button? I know everybody enjoys that. but why can't I just not do that?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with you on that front. I found it intimidating trying to get into anything with regards to like React templating or Vue, some of those things. For me, the cleanest systems that I've ever seen are where you basically have an HTML file and then the dynamic bits are in some kind of like double curly bracket or something like that. And you're basically saying, this is the dynamic bit and it goes there. And you're never really writing that file in PHP or JavaScript or anything else. It's just an HTML file. But you know that there's going to end up being some dynamic bits in this spot.
And WordPress has a bit of that, which is what I do like about that.
Yeah, sometimes it can be that easy, but it's not always. There are some frameworks actually that enable that. But so I want to figure out how to kind of wrap this up and put a bow on it, because despite reading your article and disagreeing with it vehemently, when I talk to you, I feel like I basically agree with what you're saying and totally understand where you're coming from. In your perfect world, what would you tell a client? Like, would you rather most of your clients just not try to complicate their sites to the point they need a content management system? Or what happens if, you know, they kind of evolve to where they need a content management system? So they start with a handful of landing pages and then they do need more than that. Like, how do you address those types of situations maybe?
Yeah. So one recent situation is an agency I work with. We have identified that they probably don't need it. So I'm going to rebuild it in assembly and just straight up CSS and HTML. And then for the blog, we're going to keep it the same because they do need the blog. It's a lot of entries. Expanding a couple years. In terms of, you know, maybe a client eventually needing a more robust like solution, that's not really my wheelhouse. So I'd be like, I can refer you to some people, but I would much prefer to write copy, even if it makes people mad, than create something that I think is kind of untenable for one person, especially when they're doing everything else.
And then if you were to just say something to people in the WordPress space, whether it's the core software, but it sounds more like your critique with WordPress is to whether it's plugin authors or prior consultants that built something with WordPress, what do you want to say to those people in terms of to make someone like you their life a little easier?
I guess think about avoiding kitchen sink syndrome. I know that people like me do not hate what you're making. I think it's amazing because I can't really do it. But when you get to the point where like I'm confused and I should be technical enough to understand it, the people who people make websites for will probably be confused.
Yeah, the actual owner and administrator of the website will be confused. Well, that is the great challenge, that's for sure. It's not an easy one to solve. One of the things I think you would find is that many of us that are deep into the WordPress space from a product point of view, or just, you know, being advocates for it in the sense of what it provides for the web, we're often the greatest critics of the WordPress platform. So hearing from someone that has dealt with it day in and day out is very beneficial and helpful. And, you know, like, we don't want you to face WordPress and just groan because you're like, oh crap, this is a WordPress site. You know, we want somebody to be able to, no matter what their application is, whether it's complex or simple. And honestly, the simple ones should be fairly easy to manage to help make someone happy. So those are the types of solutions where there should be a way to package WordPress to where it's perfectly workable for the types of sites that you're talking about. So hopefully some of the people that make those decisions were able to hear this and have some degree of takeaway to do something with what you said. I'm going to link up your Hacker Noon article, which is a little more abrasive than our chat, but very entertaining. And you make some good points there as well. And then I'm also going to link up your website, thereisno.design, where people can go through and check out your contact form and all that if they want to talk to you some more, maybe about what you do and some of your concerns and that kind of stuff. Is there anything that you want to leave us with?
I guess don't take me so seriously.
I don't think we should take anybody on the web so seriously. People get, you know, they get too hyped up these days.
I'm just a shit poster in my soul. It's okay. Like, I'm not really that bad.
No, I don't think you are. And I think your feedback and, you know, anyone that's using WordPress on a day-to-day basis, especially if they're not very happy with it, I enjoy that feedback and being able to hear where they're coming from. I certainly think what you said makes sense, that if it's complicated to you, it's complicated to your clients. Your clients are the ones using these WordPress sites at the end of the day. So therefore, it's too complicated.
Definitely. And
that's something that we can address and approach and hopefully do it a little bit better in the future. Kira, thank you for joining me. If people want to follow you, you have a Twitter and stuff too, right?
Yeah, you added me on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's kind of for anime stuff. So I don't know if you want to do that one. You could check out LinkedIn.
But it's Kira Lee or LinkedIn for the very professional side of things.
It's not anymore.
Is LinkedIn fun these days?
Yes, it's very fun.
Nice. Well, sounds good. It's nice to meet you, and I appreciate you coming on to talk to me a little bit about what you do and the way you think about WordPress.
No problem, and thank you so much, and I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, likewise. All right, we'll catch everybody next time.